Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our Red Tent Radio. We believe every woman has a story, and it is our mission for every woman's story to be heard. And on this show, actually, we are going to bridge the gaps between men and women. I have on the show Philippe Lewis, who is a sex and intimacy coach with his business, Exquisite Lover. And I'm going to introduce him in a second, but the reason I have him on the show is to talk about bridging the gaps, talk about our masculine and feminine within, talk about our masculine and feminine without, talk about how, as a woman is evolving into her powerful self, she works with and meets her partner. And in the same way as the men are evolving, how does he hold space for his partner? And this is it, you know, our intent radio, we're sharing our stories, but women are connected to men and the children, and we're working on it together. So, Philippe Lewis, I'd love you to introduce yourself.
Oh, hi. Hi, Aurora. It's Philippe. Yes. To meet you. Good to see you again, or good to talk to you again. And it's good to be on the I think you said you wanted me to tell everyone what I do. And, wow. Just wondering about that as you were speaking. I just realized, like, I think I want to reclaim the word geek, you know, because the word geek has had this really negative kind of looks, you know, think of nerds, people think of people with glasses. And from the very, very first go, from the very, very get-go when I started, I call myself a relationship geek. By that I mean that I really get interested in people, and I get interested in how they relate and what they're made of. When you ask me what I do, that's pretty much what I do. I get interested. I get curious. And I try to figure out, like, well, what? I try to feel it out. People feel it out for themselves as well.
Awesome. Awesome description. And your website, Exquisite Lover, and your blogs and your writings have been so inspiring to me. And it's been amazing for me as a woman who speaks so much for women's empowerment to see a man who is mirroring that for the masculine, and both of us doing this work to help also educate me as a woman, educate men, and you as a man educating women, but at the same time, mostly a lot of times dedicating our work to how do we help women be in their power, how do we help men be in their power and in their strength, and a lot of the topics that we discuss sometimes are taboo, whether it's sexuality, whether it's help, you know, charting women's cycles, or it's beautiful to play that dance with you. And I have reached out to you many times around my relationships with men and my confusion with men. And here I am, yeah, you know, working with women on women's empowerment stuff, but having a hard time in my connection with the men in my life. And again, the Red Tent. So my work is the Red Tent. The Red Tent is where the women come together to share their stories. And it is a space where the women share deeply and vulnerably. And we honor emotions and emotional flow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a big thing that I've been coming up against is what happens when the man I'm with isn't willing to go into his emotions with me, isn't willing to go into his vulnerability with me, will give me a mask and an exterior of I am strong because I am man and there's nothing wrong, when me as a woman, I can feel into him. I'm so intuitive knowing that there is this mass amount of shadow, of shit that he's holding. And because of it, we're not able to create depth. And what has happened is that it affects our sexual relationship, it affects our intimate relationship, our flow. And what's been coming up for me is feeling shut down and feeling like if I pry too hard to get him to open up, he will create a wall and create disconnection. If I don't speak at all, then I feel shut down. So I've reached out to you a bunch about that, just dynamics with men, and I'd love to hear your take on what you called the other day when we were speaking, helping men develop their emotional intelligence, which then comes up to just the idea of men and emotions.
Right.
What's male emotional intelligence to you?
Yeah. Well, I think what we're talking right now is like what is men's relationship to emotions? So there's many answers. First of all, there's never just one answer. You know, 99.99% of the population is a regular human being. Same thing for men. Same thing for women. I mean, if you're a man, you're version of a regular man. Of a regular man. I mean, everybody thinks they're special, and they are because they're unique. Also, all the same. And so to be able to just kind of name one answer as to why these things are happening is bound to failure. It's bound to represent some people, but not all, and some men, but not all. So I just want to preface whatever I say as these are things to look at. These are things that may be true, and they may be true for you. And I'm speaking to the men who are listening right now. Because their woman brought them in and say, you need to listen to this, or you're a random man who's kind of curious about, you know, what's going on for women, and you happen on to this show. So, and at some point we'll be talking about women, and it'll be the same thing. Like, I just want you to check in with yourself. Does this apply to you? And if it doesn't, that's totally okay. It's not meant to apply to everyone. And when it fits, when the shoe fits, then wear it and see how far you can go with it. And then when it doesn't fit anymore, just put it aside and, you know, walk barefoot or look for more shoes. So I just want to say that. So some of the things that for me around men and their relationship to emotion. So first, we've got this thing that's very, very common that we often hear about. Men have been socialized to be a certain way, or we call it the gender roles. And are supposed to be this way, and are supposed to be that way. The quintessential, like, be a man, and whatever the heck that means, it's different for each man. First of all, different for each community, for each culture, and also different per country. I mean, I'm from Canada, and my dad never said be a man. I never heard that. So when I heard about this in the U.S., I was like, well, this is so strange, but apparently it's a thing. What being a man looks like and what it is, depending on social circle and community and culture.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thing, and generally it's been said, it's been seen that emotions are not part of the thing called being a man, and so what that means ultimately is that men don't get educated, they don't get a lot of practice around this thing called emotions. There's just not a whole lot of it. Your men are being told, don't cry. Men are being told, whatever emotion that's going on for you, we're not really that interested in it. There's not much interest. They're being told, like, shut it down because you got shit to do. You got more important things to do than emotions. And of it is also so that it's, you know, throughout its history, there's been a great drive towards accomplishment around getting done, around often, whether it or not, and it takes a particular kind of personality for men for be able to do that. You know, if they're always in their emotions, then whenever they don't feel like something, then they don't do it. And as a big group, organized group, that makes things more complicated. So that's why mm-hmm. having people who will do things, whether they feel it or not, it's a more cohesive group, which then can accomplish big things that a single person would not be able to do. Whether it's it's construction, whether it's conquest, whether it's exploration. I mean, the sailors who discovered America, which we're sitting in right now, probably would not have made it if they only did it when they felt like it. So we're here because there are people who shut down their emotions or whether or not they felt like it. There we go. It's a general sense of gender roles or the social contract of what it's like to be a man.
Right. And
isn't why most... Yeah, go for it.
Oh, no, I was just saying, thinking that, well, yes, I mean, there are a lot of reasons with the conditioning around why men are the way that they're told to be, and you're right that there's so many different types of men. Some men are able to go into their emotional flow, and some men aren't. And the question from me is, I'm talking about the ones who aren't. The ones who are easier for me to navigate.
Yeah.
They're easier for me to have a conversation with. You know, I know you have a strong emotional intelligence to you, but what happens when a woman like me is with a man who says men are designed not to be emotional? Literally, I mean, I have been with men who say to me, who, and they say it to me, I'm a man, so I can't process with you. So I, you know, you got to do that with your girlfriends. I'm a man, so I just don't feel the way that you feel. And I had one man look at me and go, oh, you're going to make, like, oh, she's just going to want to talk about her emotions. He said this to another friend, but, or he looked at me and said, you just want to bond and talk about your emotions. And I spoke to him later, too. He said, well, God forbid that I want us to fucking talk about our emotions. But my point being is that that right there, my personality that's sort of like, God forbid, like, come on, let's do it. What I've been seeing is not totally working. Because they've got this, one, they do believe that they're on one side, but me as an intuitive woman, I'm looking at them and going, like, are you kidding me? Like, I can feel, I can feel your internal world. You are dying in there, and you're telling me that you're fine, and you just, you, how do I break you open? What do I do, you know?
Yeah, you can feel them more than they can feel themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big... That's a big revelation here. It's not that men cannot feel, it's that they cannot feel themselves. And I say this not just because it's my best guess, but it's also because I've been doing men's work for a number of years, for about like 10 years at this point, and I could not feel myself. And people were like, you're not connected to your feelings. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't even know. I can't even tell. So it's like somebody telling somebody who's blind, there are colors out there, and because you're blind, you're saying there is no color. What are you talking about? When enough people come and tell you the same thing, then you're starting to think, oh, well, what do I need to be able to see and to see in colors? And so, or maybe seeing black and white versus there are colors. A good analogy. So. My best guess here is it's not that men can't feel. It's not that men are designed to feel. Socially, they may be designed to not feel because it's just a way of taking different roles in society. But I don't think that's true, first of all, because there's cultures where men feel more. So clearly, a male is, you know, in terms of sex, in terms of biological sex, is actually able to feel. So, and not only that, but there's tons of men who experience it. But what am I say about this? Not only are men able to feel, but you just need enough practice to do it. Because you, as a woman, has a lot more practice because socially. You're constantly being asked. They actually did this study at some point, and what they realized is that when little boys fought, they were basically separated and they're punished. When little girls fought, they were separated. They were stopped and asked, "Why are you fighting? What is going on? Mm-hmm. How are you feeling?" And so, there's right from a really early age, the little boys and little girls are being treated very differently. And and it's the practice of feeling into what's going on for yourself and for other people that gives you what I call emotional intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
So that intelligence is present in all people. That's my best guess. It's present in the same amount, in the same capacity for emotional intelligence is present. And by emotional intelligence, I say to be able to feel yourself and draw conclusions from that. So you can apply that to any other kinds of intelligence, logical, erotic, static, which would be like what's going on in your body and how do you feel in their body as witnessing them. And so same thing, intelligence meaning what are the sort of patterns emerging inside in a particular way inside of yourself, in this case emotions, and what's going on in the other person and in other people. And also, what does it mean? So that's emotional intelligence. And in order to be intelligent, you have to practice. Socially,
you know,
you're not educated to practice.
Keep on going.
Yeah, if you're not practicing, then there's no, it's no surprise that you're not good at it. So, and I say you in terms of talking, I'm talking about men. So
right.
Your question
and
originally
then,
was, well, what do I do?
That does bring back the question, and I know you have a really good answer for that. Because you're
speaking
about what it is that I meant to do. But you did bring up two points that I want to just target, because you and I both come from the philosophy of harmony within the masculine and feminine within. There are definitely some schools of thought that say, well, men are like this, women are like that. And you and I are definitely integrated perspective, at least if I understand you right.
That's right.
I am more of the integrated perspective. And so with that, we are assuming that each person's unique and they each have their own variables of emotional intelligence. The other thing that came up for me was, for the men who have the walls, my conclusion has been that it might be best for them to be able to expand within a men's group. When it comes
Absolutely.
From me as their romantic partner, I might be the one that they have the biggest walls against, unfortunately. And so they need to see from other men that it's okay for them to be emotional and for them to share. There's something in men, and I actually want to ask you this question, there's something in men that I've been perceiving that they don't believe me when I say that I can hold space for everything that they are. You know, they don't believe me that I can hold space for their depths. And I'm like, this is what I do. This is what I do. This is how I bond.
Of all people, you're the person who could hold it the best, and they can't tell.
They can't, and they don't believe me. And so my thoughts are, okay, you know, maybe you need to go to the men's circle. You need to go to the men's circle and the other men to help you start opening up. And I have a couple partners in mind. There's one partner in mind who is definitely not ready for the men's group. And then there's the other partner in mind who does go to the men's group, and that's the only place he is emotionally expressing. So he finds safety with his men, and both of them will tell me that they're telling me everything, but I know they're not. I just know.
Right. Right. I mean, but have you had proof that that's the case? I mean, there's one thing to say, I know there's not, but you actually know what those things are. So that's where you can apply your intelligence.
You know, I do know because I hear through the grapevine. So I do, you know, see my one friend or when my lover that I'm with, he'll be on the phone with somebody else while he's at my house, and I can hear him going into emotional conversation, but then coming to me and tell me he's fine. Or I will hear my other lover, he will express it to another person who's a friend. So it's one of those things that just happen because we tend to all talk, and is that good, is that bad? I don't know. My point is that I'm very aware that it's not quite being expressed to me, which brings up so many questions for me. And I don't, and I could say it's me. You know, I could absolutely say, you know what, I'm just a little, I don't know, it's me. But at the same time, honestly, when I feel into my body about it, I don't think it's me. I think it's a deep insecurity around sharing their vulnerability with their partner.
Yep. And what you're speaking of is essentially what are the hurdles that show up as what you call the wall. Right, so there's a number of things I could name. You know, it could just be discomfort, just be like an emotional discomfort from self confidence when it comes to expressing emotions. It could just be like, I don't know, it's gonna look bad, right? One thing. Another one, it would just be like, it could just be, especially for a man who's growing slowly and has emotional intelligence, it could just be that he doesn't know really how he feels. It could be that his emotional intelligence reacts. You know, imagine this as the ability to read. So, and you're a really good reader. You can read your own emotion. You can read the emotion of others. You look at someone and you can tell how they feel. Well, somebody who's not emotionally very very intelligent will feel really stupid they will look at it's like reading at words and you don't know how to read. You're what's the name for that when you you don't know how to read? What's the word?
Dyslexic or no?
No, dyslexic. There's another word. Yeah, basically you don't know how to read. And so
okay,
so you'd be looking.
Okay.
You open up a book, and you have no clue what's in it. So imagine that somebody who's not very emotionally intelligent is feeling exactly the same way. They feel the same way about their own book and about the book of somebody else that's wide open in front of them, but they have no clue to what is going on, what's story inside of that book, in either theirs or somebody else. So when somebody like you comes along and says, "I feel," like they have no clue. It's very slow. They'll look at their own book, so to speak, again, if we follow the analogy. They'll try to read one word, two words, and it's very frustrating. It could they might feel like it looks bad. They might feel shame, not knowing what you actually create that shame. And that's actually very common. Like some women will say, "Oh, especially they make men feel emotionally stupid." It just either because they're really good at it, or you know, as a woman, they're really good at it, and they're just very fluent. Or because they actually say things that make them feel stupid, like, "Oh, you're just, you know, you don't," or "just a piece of wood," you know, you're not react, so forth. So it's a safe space for men to want to explore, and that's why going to a men's circle is actually really powerful. The presence of other men who are been there often, or there's enough relatedness because we're all men in the same circle, then even if one man feels is very fluent, he's going to get it. Everybody feels safe to explore and express their emotions and fucking up in the process. There's not as much at
Mm-hmm.
And to do it with other men, it slows down the pace and fun and figuring it out and not being sure much with any negative. But a man saying, "All right, it's good to hang out with you, and it's good to see you grow and evolve and change and open up."
Mm-hmm.
The pressure that if you don't open up, something bad is going to happen. The judgment is going to show up. And the same thing happens with women. There's that sense of everything is okay. And it normalizes the experience of everyone. If somebody has a hard experience, somebody else will say, "I've been there. I know what you're talking about." There's much more empathy.
Right. And that's something I spoke to you. Oh, yeah, keep on going. No, keep on going.
And so, you want to be, so to answer your question, what of the wall, best to do is empathize. And if you can't empathize, to essentially say, "I don't know how this feels." Or "I don't know how this is for you." You don't even know, you can't even use the word "feel." That might even be too much. And you slow down. Or in some cases, actually, it can be useful to offer kind of a menu of possibilities based on what you feel of these men. So if you're really good at feeling, then you say, "I'm feeling, you know, maybe there's some anger there, or maybe there's some frustration, or maybe there's some shame, or maybe," but it's very key, because if a man doesn't know how to feel himself, it's going to be hard for him to even say, "Yeah, I agree." Slow and just being supportive of like, "Oh, when you do know how you feel, or if that bubbles up for you, yeah, just come to me and just some words, you know, or any words was there any words that could describe how you feel right now?" And not judge them. Just say, "Any words is okay. I just want to be here with you as you discover this thing called feeling," if you want to. If you even go there, you need to be with a man who is desiring to become more emotionally intelligent. Otherwise, you're just going to keep butting heads, because you'll have different different destinations in mind.
Absolutely. And that's something, so I'm taking notes mentally in my being. mm-hmm. around the way I've been communicating with men, and that I've wanted the men, even if they aren't able to share their emotions with me, to at least be able to share something about their process, you know, something about, well, this is where I'm at right now, and this is what I'm working on within my being. And since they haven't been able to do that, I've been a little bit more just straight up, this is what I'm feeling. How do I put this? I might be saying it a little bit loopy, because as a woman, the way I speak to a woman is, or another person with high emotional intelligence, I say, this is what I'm feeling. And they say, oh, well, this is what I'm feeling. And then I say, this is what I'm feeling. And yeah. It just flows like that. So for a man who, and of course, women are like this too. It just so happens, due to a lot of cultural conditioning, this is more prevalent for men, that when I'm thinking about this one partner in particular, that I might be better asking him a lot of questions. What's been happening, it's either I will say, this is what I'm feeling, and if he can't respond, then I will hold back, and I just won't say anything. So I'll just say, great, well, yeah. This is where you're at, so I'm going to not share my stuff, which then makes me feel trapped, and it makes me feel not able to express myself. But I was just wondering, what if I went to that partner and asked again, just questions, just more questions for him to think into himself and to give me answers. Questions about, you know, I'm watching you react like this, and I'm just curious if it means this. Or, I don't know, something that well, is me noting that things are happening, and can I get more information from you?
So if you're going to do this, is this going to serve most? Because it's easy to go from, I really want to help him, but then the way it occurs to him is, it sounds like it's more about you. Stand in the mystery of he doesn't know, and you need the answers, because otherwise you're going to feel not fully self-expressed, and you're going to feel like you're restraining yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say, there's nothing wrong with that, but the more it's about him, the more he's going to feel pressure to go at a pace that's not his.
Right.
And
that's what's interesting, what's coming up for me, is that because it's in the context of a romantic relationship, as in I'm looking for my romantic partner, to me, I think I'm putting more pressure on it because I want that connection. Whereas it is more personal. I'm like, hey, are you going to be my partner? Like, are you, it's that courting part, you know, recording. And are you my penguin? You know, are we going to exchange pebbles, you know? And there's that peak where it is more about me. Hey, there's other penguins. I just want to know that this works. No, I know. But would I be doing the same thing with a friend, or definitely not the same thing with someone I was coaching? So it's interesting, and I'm just reflecting it on myself, because I'm asking myself, why am I putting that pressure on them when they're not ready? And it's because I'm like, hey, I want you to be my penguin. Are you going to be my penguin? Like, have a conversation with me, you know, about your feelings.
I think you're more likely to ask questions and ask people, like, are you my penguin? And the reason what I think it is that there's more at stake. There's more at stake for you. Your heart, your body, your feelings, all of that is at stake for you. Your future is at stake. Yeah. So, of course, you'd be asking all these questions. And of course, the pressure that I can be for a man who's just like, okay, let's go back to the reading analogy. So you're going to him and say, the book. Tell me what's in your book. I want you to read what's in your book. Like, I really want to know, is this what's in your book? Tell me, are you my person? Okay, is in your book the answer to my questions, are you my person? And the guy is just one word in his book. And so all the questions can often occur as, like, too much, too fast, too much. And I'll show it to you from a different perspective. people, they just go with the flow. There's not even a question. You know, you'll be like, do you want to eat? They'll like, yeah. They'll say where. They'll say, this is what I want. This is kind of the kind of food I want to eat. Or they'll say, I'm going to go see this show. And what do you think? And you're like back and forth, like we're doing right now. But whenever there's emotional resistance, things slow down. Answers don't come so quickly. So whenever you're getting not many answers or you're getting a wall, that's because way faster, you're jumping way, way far ahead, and the other person's like, I don't know. And they might even get upset. They're not in the same flow that you are.
Yeah. So that's been a really interesting journey for me because I'm laughing. I'm chuckling to myself because this one partner who is absolutely, you know, we can call it low emotional intelligence. It's not low intelligence. It's just, you know, he definitely has walls around sharing anything. And I remember having a conversation with him at the beginning of our relationship, and he basically said the same thing, like, you need to slow down. And I was like, no, I want to see inside your soul. And I was totally serious. I want, that's how I create. I mean, I think also as a woman, but as a woman who's very intuitive and very tapped into those spaces, the moment I see you, I know who you are. You know, I just know who you are.
Yeah.
So we might as well just start at jumping into the deep end. But if you're someone who's not like that, that could be much. And that's exactly what was happening with this other man, where he's like, let's just get to know each other. Let's go have fun. And I was like, great. It was absolutely not being in the same level of communication. And for me, the way that I create intimacy, the way that I get to know somebody is by just deep sharing. And he needed more safety. And so then when I finally got that, I was taking time and holding space, asking the questions. But honestly, the reason we're still talking about this is because I still don't feel that I was super successful at it, because I kept on getting to a point where I was feeling suppressed. And that's just that beautiful dance. And I think it's again, that pressure up. But I want you to be my penguin. You know, it's not, I'm going to you. You're not my client, you know.
and you're not getting paid for being slow,
right?
For slowing down.
I was just wondering, you know, it's my own, what makes me happy? You know, will it make me happy to develop my skills of being compassionate for where other people are at? Or is it going to make me happy to just know, hey, I need to be with this type of person who can go into the deep end really quickly with me?
Well, there's a particular kind of fulfillment to be able to go to the deep end at the very edge of your growth, in the same way that you are with somebody else who is the same place that you are, going the same direction at the same speed that you are. And that's a particular kind of, there's that sense of partnership. And then there's another kind of fulfillment, which is essentially being in service. And I was trying to explain that to another friend. I need to feel loved in a particular way. If you can, like, the love language, we're talking about the love languages, and at some point we were talking, and I said my love language is acts of service, and she said, well, is it giving or receiving? And I said, it doesn't matter. If you're receiving or giving love, the experience that you have is an experience of love. And if you're attached to one way or the other, that's because you haven't reached that level of development where simply express different pace and still feel the love and still feel like you're fully self-expressed, even if you're going at a pace that is not a big one, even if it's not. If it's not in partnership, you could be doing this as an act, as a form of service or as a expression that is still fully you, because you have the range and the flexibility from a lot of practice, from a lot of conversations, from a lot of relationships. Because you're able to do that, you're able to experience it in some way as if it were partnership. But in this case, like you said, like coaching, like being a coach and having a client. Well, that can be an intimate relationship, which it is, but it's not an expensive partnership. So when you ask, are you my partner or are you my person, you're looking for a particular experience, and this person is not giving you that experience. The interaction, the engagement with that person is giving you that. And that's going to happen no matter who you are with.
Mm-hmm.
There's always multiple areas of growth, whoever you're with. But it sounds like in terms of emotional intelligence, you're looking for someone who's at least closer to you when it comes to that sort of engagement. Much like a dancer or a poet would want to be able to do poetry or dance with someone who's more experienced and more skilled as a dancer. And we've had that conversation before. And that brings us into the David Deah from the different stages of man, first stage, second stage, second stage, and third stage. And it sounds like what you're looking for is more of a third stage.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And I'm chuckling to myself, too, because I have so many beautiful, emotionally fluent men in my life. And the ones I'm attracting and attracted to are the ones who are unable to really go there. I'm like, what is that? So this is just the complexity of humanness, you know? Like this is my own complex. All right, let's see. Why am I attracted to the men that can't go there with me, even though there are men who like me who can? All right, I'm going to see there.
Yeah, maybe you're attracted to a good challenge. Maybe you're attracted to a good challenge, and that you would not be the first. I mean, the legendary, you know, the legend of the woman who falls in love with the rebel and she tries to change him, and there's a huge resistance. Bible in its own way.
For sure, that absolutely has something to do with it. I absolutely like the grind. I've known that about myself, learning about my own masochistic tendencies all around. But it's good. I don't know. It's me. I want to share a story because I like sharing stories on this show. I'm holding two yoni eggs right now. Two yoni eggs, jade eggs. These are eggs created out of crystals. So the one that I'm holding is an obsidian. The other one is a rose quartz. And I bought them at a workshop in which we were learning how to use the yoni eggs in order to strengthen our vaginal canal to help with energy flow. And I got the rose quartz yoni egg right after being sexually intimate with one of the partners I've been talking about on this show, the man who really isn't able to go into any kind of emotional space with me. And my connection to him is one of those connections where it's a soul recognition. It's just this, I know you from another world, and even though we're not communicating, you know, it doesn't matter. I just want to go deep with you really fast right away. And yet we are speaking completely different languages. But right before I went to this egg workshop, he invited me over to be sexual, and it was already... I understood that I wasn't going to be able to express myself emotionally with him. And so what I did is I had sex with him in a way of shutting down my heart a little bit. It was a superficial, like I allowed my body to just let it be genital to genital. Does that make sense? You know, a lot of times when I make love, my genital to heart connection is fully open and intact, and I feel I can express every emotion that's coming out of me, and I feel safe to just share, and that's part of the sexual yum. You know, that's part of the our ability to flow together. So I shut that off, and it was fine. You know, I got off, and I went to this workshop right afterwards, and I held the rose quartz yoni egg. And it burned my hand. It burned my hand. And I realized that the reason it was burning my hand was because I had created this connection between my yoni and my heart so that I could have sex with this man in the space where he was basically wanting to have sex with me because he wasn't able to express his emotional flow, and that superficiality in which the way I was expressing it, like, I felt it as superficiality. He saw that as safety. He saw that as, I need it to be superficial for now so that I can feel safe. But for me, it created a great disconnect. So I meditated with that, and when the rose quartz felt better in my hand, I ended up putting the rose quartz into my yoni because I felt, well, let's reconnect it. So what happened was, when I put the rose quartz egg back in my yoni, it reconnected my heart to yoni connection, my heart to womb connection, but I also ended up getting a yeast infection. And to me, that yeast infection was a symbol of, I can say, mistreating my womb, and it was a symbol of my anger. My anger of not fully being able to be expressed and to make love the way I want to make love. And I'm grateful for when I put myself through these situations, because I think that being human is complex, and there's a lot of reasons why I decided to have sex with this man, because I do care for him on other levels. But it was, again, a reflection to myself, okay, where am I at my womb space? And also a reflection to myself of, I cannot have sexual intimacy without this full expression. It made my womb angry. You know, I was angry at it. And so now my womb is healed, but that's where I'm at now. It was just, that was my story. My story was my way of kind of not expressing myself so that he could feel safe. Really hurt my body. and I know what you're speaking about is something completely different in terms of asking more questions, allowing it to take more time, and allowing him to feel safe because his emotional intelligence is low. And yep. Me navigating that has been really an interesting experience.
Yeah. That shows up for me in the conversation that in your story, it was the conversation around pace. Like, there's, like, and you decided to essentially, to essentially not connect in a way that felt most comfortable to you in order to. So, to me, what I read that as is, you changed your pace in favor of him, Hopefully, it did a good thing for him, but it was actually too slow or too not it, quote unquote not it. To a point where it felt more than just a little stretch. It actually felt, and more than just uncomfortable, it actually hurt in some way. It hurt you, or it eroded you, or it just made you a little. It put yourself in a situation that was less than who you are, and it was the impact was negative on you. That brings the conversation around pace is one that's shows up in every relationship. How can both people go at a pace that feels right, or that feels in the range of okay for both people? So it doesn't feel like it's breakneck speed for one person, and it doesn't feel like it's boring as hell for the other person, or vice versa. So and that, to figure that out, takes a lot of conversation, and can change from one interaction or engagement or another. Suspect if you two had been in a conversation, more in an explicit conversation, and you had said, "Day, I would like to go at your speed," and then you discover what that speed is, and you're not assuming what it is, you're just, and then another time you say, "This, you know, tonight or this time, I would like to go at my speed." Then you figure it out together, or you be more explicit around what that looks like, and so your approach. The experience of engaging with each other more as a practice. Same way that you go to yoga and you do vinyasa the one time, and another time you do Bikram, and another time, or one time you do an advanced class because, you know, your body can take it, but if you do it every time all week, it'll hurt you. So what I'm hearing in your story is you just did it one way, and it could have been just from one experience or many. That I couldn't tell in your story, but is that it had a negative impact on you. So if it were me, I would, or if I was your coach, I would recommend that you explore a pace that's more mutually inclusive for the two of you.
Right.
Which could be difficult,
right?
Because if he's not really intelligent, somatically, he may not know.
Right. And that's me, like, ringing the bell, going, like, yeah, that would involve an emotional conversation to make a compromise.
Right.
So,
that's right. Yeah.
So I'm just sort of like, and so now that I've had these experiences, I, as a reflection of other women too, have to look into myself around what feels good to me. What kind of person do I want to be with? How far am I willing to go in the names of personal development or to help my partner grow? And I recognize that I'm not perfect. I'm definitely, even on this show, I know that I've said a lot of things that isn't in the highest, and I'm not one who likes to say that I speak in the highest. I just speak of where I am. This is where I'm at right now.
Right.
And where I'm at right now is just figuring it out. You know, I would say maybe in the highest is that I only have sex when it's fully aligned, you know? Maybe that's the highest. And I don't always have sex when it's fully aligned. I have sex to have experiences, to learn, to grow, to understand what it is that I do want. And and that's what happens. Yeah, I got a yeast infection. It didn't feel good. It sucked. and it came from emotional yuck. And, okay, I was grateful for it because I learned. And here I am recognizing what I would like to bring in. Though, to be honest, there's still that part of me. It might be the sadomasochist part. I'm not sure. Or maybe the one that wants a challenge and still wants to go back to man and go, okay, I just spoke to Philippe. He gave me more tools, and I'm going to start asking questions now. And I don't know. I'm exhausting myself a little. But that's it. I'm done. I'm sorry. I'm done babbling. I feel like I'm babbling. But I think this is a great conversation to have, and I'm really happy that on this show for women to tell their stories and to speak their stories, that you're on the show with me as a man from the man's perspective, because, you know, we're integrated. It can't just be about women. And as the women are learning to appreciate their emotions, you know, they come to the red tent and they're like, wow, you mean my shadow, that which I've been told I need to shame is actually something I can speak about. And they're reclaiming that. And then they want to go speak about it with their partner. Then what? You know? Then
and then
what?
it doesn't work.
How do we bring it home?
Yeah, well, how do you say again?
How do we bring it home? How do we bridge?
Slowly and carefully. With love, caring, nurturing, empathy, and if you're a master at all five of these things, at all of these, and compassion. Sorry, I missed one. Sixth thing. If you're a master or mistress or master or mistress at these things, then there is no issue with bringing this home, because you will naturally and automatically slow down at whatever pace is the most right for the situation. And what I suspect is, okay, these women, or the women that you know, they go to this red tent, or they go to another women's circle. They share. They get more familiar with their own. They get to express their emotions, which could be a new thing. They express it, you know, in a more public way. Or they get to go even deeper than they ever went, or it gets the stuff that they weren't even sure about. And so they were not only one step ahead of men before that, but now they're like two ahead of men who do any of this work. And anyone was trying to bring it home, and they realize, oh, right, home is where we go, because it's not available. Because he's not emotionally intelligent enough. And so what my suggestion in that area is, it's almost like you have to go a couple more steps further, enough range to feel it self-expressed enough as a sort of that talking about it within the couple is not so needed anymore. It's not so, it's that it becomes so, you become so fluent that a sister can call you and nail it and just get right down to the point of how she feels and have that experience of being heard and being felt, so that she doesn't do that much from her partner. And then she can go to her partner and she can say, how do you feel? And the guy looks at her, blinks, has no clue. She'll do that for a number of weeks or months. She's able to mutter some word about how he feels. He might say, I feel pissed, or I feel angry, or in that mood. And that could be the beginning. And that could last another full few weeks or months. And maybe the next time he's actually able to say, I'm in a bad mood, and I think that's because of X. And again, So my recommendation in this, like what you're speaking about, is more practice for everyone, basically. And also, as much can muster, a man will more likely not to be emotionally intelligent. It's more likely to be slow and more likely slow pace and a very little bits of practice by little bits of practice, very small baby. A woman is more emotionally intelligent, it will become part of her aliveness. And so she needs to be able to do it with other sisters really, really easily and do that so that she gets fed emotionally in that particular way. Not dependent on her man as much and doesn't put pressure on him. Then you just go at it. Years.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember you had another question. How do men hold space for women's emotional or physical trauma? That's a whole can of worms. If a man is not emotionally or somatically intelligent, somatically meaning in his body, then know what to do. He's not even going to be able to feel it. And so, in order to, the man has to be somewhat at a very base level, emotionally or physically or slash somatically intelligent, in order to at least hold space.
Absolutely.
Otherwise,
and, you know, it's interesting because we spent almost an hour just talking about men and their emotions and how to open them up, and so I wasn't even going to go into women and how men can hold space for women. But it's interesting. It actually hurts my entire being because. If most of the world is at a point where women are not able to speak their truth and men are at a point of not being able to share their emotions, and one out of three women have been raped in this world, have had sexual abuse, and my point is that the way that they're making love is probably so detached and is a huge example of why men and women are not having deep intimacy and are having trouble in their sexual life and having trouble in that love space, in that romantic space. And for what I was thinking of when I said, well, how do men hold space for women to help her ask and express what she needs? Yes, it's definitely more of a man who's on the spectrum of higher emotional intelligence and probably the type of man who would listen to this radio show, because what I also wanted to say is that what's funny is that the type of men that we spoke about for most of the show are likely not really the men who are going to listen to this show. And I want to honor the men who are listening to the show being like, well, I'm an emotionally intelligent man. You know, I honor the goddess. I go deep with her and I want to know about her cycles and I want to go into, you know, deep cosmic sacred intimacy, sexual practice with her, and I want to blow her mind. That's the type of men that we're attracting here. And they're the ones, though, that maybe the next call would be, well, how do you, as an emotionally intelligent man, work with a woman who is also the majority population not able to express what she really needs when with her wounding? And that's a whole another topic. And so I do want to honor the men who are on this call listening, who listen to our expression around, well, what about the type of men who can't go there, and know that that is not all men, but these men do exist, and it is in our culture. And really,
they
the call
exist.
Was they do exist. They're the majority, I think. But my point is that I was actually speaking about it for me and for my sisters who are listening to this radio show call, who are just coming into their space of just entering the red tent, and they are coming from a world and are married or in relationships with men who cannot bridge with them yet. And so how do we do that?
Well, here's a few things that came to mind as you're speaking. All men feel. The question is whether or not they can feel they can identify what their feelings are and identify what other people's feelings are and draw conclusions as to what's going on. Oh, that's emotional. So everybody feels. Everybody feels deeply and it just may not go anywhere. It just keeps on arising. So even people who are not emotionally intelligent usually feel. The people who don't feel are people like sociopaths who have a greater difficulty of feeling because of trauma and abuse. So first thing, the thing is, if a man is not very emotionally intelligent, he can still hold space for a woman to have her experience. And it's very, very simple the way it needs to happen. Often what the men wants to do something. There's nothing to do. So what I tell men in situations like this, because they don't know how to feel. Feeling can be a doing. That can be just like a thinking, if you're feeling and so on. But if you don't have that, the only thing to do is nothing. So that can be a doing, an action item. I will do nothing, and the nothing is just. It could look like thing. It could look like, but very, very simple. It basically needs to be it could look like listening, holding, not responding, not fixing. Basic of what a man can do, even if he's not very emotionally intelligent, because it's clear enough in terms of action. That's the next thing that came to mind is trauma in women exists specifically because men are not emotionally somatically intelligent. That has happened and it continues to happen in our society is specifically because men are not intelligent enough to kind of get the impact that they're having. They can't feel the impact they're having, so they go about these things that have really incredibly negative impact. If they feel it, but because they would get how bad it is, how much it's going to change the fabric of the community and the families around them, because they can't feel that. So it's not surprising that there is a set, it's kind of a, and men caused it because they can't feel it, and now women are starting to turn around and saying, well, we need more men who can feel to help us heal from that thing that was caused in the first place because they can't feel. So this is it's going to be a slow process.
Mhm. Yep. But I'm glad that we are here and that we are speaking out and we are helping and supporting and being the voice as we figure it out together. So I actually want to close the show because we have just about finished up our hour, and I would love for you to say some final words or thoughts and also to tell people how they can contact you.
Okay. So honored that I get to be the first man on your show. I have no words for that. It's like we get to do, how often do we get to do first things for the first time or to hold space or to serve someone in a first time kind of way. So I just want I want to honor that and honor you. So the second thing is, as you can all see, as people on the show can see, I am so passionate about supporting men in their growth, in understanding each other and be able to dance with each other in the most exquisite way. And for that, I created my coaching practice called ExquisiteLover.com. And if you can go to my website, ExquisiteLover.com, and you can go, you can see what I'm passionate about. It's a brand new website. I'm still making adjustments. There's a section with classes that I can teach. There's also contact for coaching, both men and women. I support men and women in different ways because I'm a man, so I have particular inside knowledge about men. And I've also had many lovers who are women. Well, all of my lovers have been women, so I have particular inside view on women in a very particular way that has allowed me to create a safe space for women to grow and explore and discover who they really are, what their desires are, what their boundaries are, what their pace is. I can do that partially because 40 and hormones that are raging in my body quite as much as they used to. So I could just be. It's a really beautiful thing to do, to be able to be with someone, whether it's a man or a woman, and not feel drawn by hormones or by my biology. So it's really great. So contact me and let me know if there's any way I can help. If this show is really exciting for you in some ways, or if you have any questions, just go to the website and the contact section, and you can just send me an email that way. And I answer all my emails, and I'm always delighted to connect with people.
Thank you. Thank you. And I think that you're an amazing educator and have so much wisdom to share in so many fields, and I definitely encourage men and women to reach out to you for more information on their expansive selves. And my name is Aurora, and you can contact me at rredtent@gmail.com. Our website is www.rredtent.com, and of course, this is R Red Tent Radio. Thank you so much. We have an archived amount of amazing shows and all different topics for our growth and empowerment and liberation. And I hope that Philippe and I do another show together. If anyone is listening and excited and has questions, please write in and we could do another show on whatever it is that inspires you. So we will say goodbye. And
thank
until
you.
Next time.
Bye.